Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. And man, oh man, do we have a show for you today. What is Vladimir Putin's spiritual secret that is driving him to invade Ukraine and possibly start World War III? You know, China has given tacit approval for Vladimir Putin's latest invasion of Ukraine, in the judgment of U.S. officials, as part of a joint effort to undermine the institutions that American and allied leaders established to minimize conflict in the decades following World War II. Taiwan's Air Force scrambled again on Thursday to warn away 9 Chinese aircraft that had entered its air defense zone. Taiwan's defense minister said on the same day that Russia invaded Ukraine that a crisis is being watched closely in Taipei. Well, how you liking those end times so far? Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, everything that we told you was coming has finally arrived. And here on day 711 of 15 days to flatten the curve, we have a front row seat to the most aggressive military action in Europe since Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. But as politicians and analysts and historians scramble to make sense of all of it, Vladimir Putin has a secret that not many people know about. It is a spiritual secret, and the reason why he must have Kiev back under Russian control. Today, we will tell you what that secret is, and we will show you how it drives him in exactly the same way that Adolf Hitler's messianic delusion drove him. Is the past repeating itself? Or does this all just seem so familiar because we've already read about it in the scripture of truth? Now, as China comes into the equation, the degree of difficulty for world leaders being able to solve this puzzle rises by a factor of, about 600, 3 score and 6. Are you ready for what comes next? I hope so, because it's coming, ready or not. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. We thank you, Father God, for the praise reports. We thank you, Father God, how you work and move. Dana Bragdon today says, praise report, surgery yesterday successfully removed large kidney stones blocking Mike's kidney completely. And he feels so much better. And he says, thank you for your prayers. And Dana says, I love my NTEB family. And Dana and Mike are getting ready to come to the camp meeting that we're going to have in just under 3 months. And if you haven't registered for the camp meeting, it would be a good time to do so this weekend. Spots are filling up very, very quickly. So we rejoice with Dana and Mike and this answer to prayer and the removal of that large kidney stone that was almost completely blocking his kidney. Chrissy says, having pain from fibromyalgia combined with sinus inflammation, appreciate your prayer. Water Dog says, unspoken prayer request. And we also need to pray for the Ukrainian people today. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see Bible prophecy being fulfilled, but it breaks my heart seeing how it gets fulfilled. We stand with the Ukrainian people. I stand with the Ukrainian people. And we're going to pray for the people of Ukraine today that God would be merciful to them. Hundreds of people have already been killed, and they say that Putin is going to be able to take the capital city of Kyiv, or Kiev, sometime this weekend. And we're going to talk all about that today. But there's a lot going on. There is so much happening. Carol Jane says, please pray for all those in North America with family in Ukraine, like my friend Annetta, who is listening now from New Jersey. She was born in Ukraine. And her parents and her, they all came over here when she was very, very young. But they speak, I want to say Ukrainian, but I think she's going to clobber me for that. I don't think that they speak Ukrainian. They speak Polish. I don't know. That's bad. Don't get mad at me, Annetta. But suffice to say that it has been very, very heartbreaking. Annetta's dad has been shedding tears for quite some time now, watching what's happening to his homeland. And it is heartbreaking and it's upsetting. Carol Jane says, Carrie had a mastectomy done and is home now. Thank you for your prayers. So Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here in the chat room. Full house today. Thousands of people listening right now. Full house. And Lord, we want to lift you up today. Your word says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And we lift you up, Lord Jesus Christ, and ask you to meet with us today, ask you to hear these prayers, ask you to work and move as only you can. And we just thank you, Lord. We praise you. And if there be one listening today, Father God, who is not saved, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for that person. Beauty Truth 7 says, please pray for my son under serious spiritual attack and his new baby. Jason says, praying salvation for Elga. The time left for it is short. Also pray that the gospel tracts that I leave all over my city will result in somebody getting saved. So Father God, we thank you. We praise you. And as we open up your word today, as we open up your scripture of truth, be with us. And lead us and guide us and prepare us for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, Lord. But while we wait and while we see the events heating up and just the very idea that we could be on the precipice of World War III right now is an unbelievably sobering thought. And Father God, while we wait, let us not be idle spectators. But let us get something done for you that will last through all eternity. Lord, we say around here, the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And then we say, to the fight. Well, now the whole world is watching the fight this weekend. We know the truth of what's going on. And help us to be busy about your kingdom and about your business while we wait. And we thank you and praise you and commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Crazy events that are going on. Are we witnessing Gog and Magog? Well, it's possible. I had somebody yelling at me the other day, and how dare you tell people, open up your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 39, and I had somebody telling me the other day, how dare I tell people that we're watching Gog and Magog? I don't know if we are watching Gog and Magog, but I know that we are watching something that if it's not Gog and Magog, then it is a type of Gog and Magog. That is a guarantee. And that's not even open for debate. Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist. Now, granted, we learned that mostly in retrospect, after that had all been accomplished in World War II, and after everybody got a good look at the gas chambers and the concentration camps, and then everybody began to figure out that, hey, this man was a type of Antichrist, not just a bad person, not just an evil person, because the world is filled with bad, evil people. John Gotti was a bad, evil person. But John Gotti was not a type of Antichrist. So just because a person is bad and just because a person is evil does not make them a type of Antichrist. But Adolf Hitler was a type of Antichrist in seven different particulars. And you can read, go to nowtheendbegins.com and do a search for Adolf Hitler, and that article will pop right up. And you can see very, very clearly that Adolf Hitler was a biblical type of Antichrist, which resulted in the regathering of the Jewish people and the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. So while Adolf Hitler was only a type of Antichrist and not the actual Antichrist, even though his Nazi party ID card was 555, can you imagine that? I mean, how much more of a type do you want somebody to be than somebody who's a type of Antichrist to have his National Socialist Nazi Party ID card 555? That's really kind of funny, isn't it? That's really kind of interesting. So Adolf Hitler was a biblical type of Antichrist, but he was not the actual Antichrist, even though what he did resulted in the literal fulfillment of the Jewish people to the nation of Israel, which was actual Bible prophecy. The Bible says that in the end of days that God shall gather them. Jeremiah 32:37, and the prophet Jeremiah is one of those prophets that is filled to overflowing with end times Bible prophecy relating to the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation. And Jeremiah 32:37 says, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, Israel, and I will cause them to dwell safely." So I want you to understand that Jeremiah 32:37 had a partial fulfillment in Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party in World War II. So, as we look at what Putin is up to, and of course, the land of Magog and the land of Russia are absolutely very closely linked together. Russia is Magog. Meshach and Tubal is the Crimea and the Ukraine and all those little countries that are all jammed in there. And the Bible says that Gog and Magog are going to come down from the north. And there is a spiritual reason why Gog and Magog come down from the north. And of course, when we look on a map, what do we see? When we look on a map, we see that Magog is exactly where Russia is. And we see where the biblical cities of Meshach and Tubal are. And everything is right in the middle of what's happening right now. So I want you to think about these things. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen next week and next month. I don't know if there are some people who are saying that Vladimir Putin, Ukraine is just the first stop, and there's other people that say that Vladimir Putin is already, after he gets Kiev, some people feel that he is already signaling that he is going to be ready to negotiate. Now, if he does that, that follows the biblical pattern of Adolf Hitler. He took the Rhineland and then he negotiated, but it was only a stalling tactic. And then 2 years later, on March 15th, 1938, Adolf Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia. And then a year later, he invaded Poland, and then he took over France. So this is the biblical pattern of what we see going on. So if you look on a map, Magog is exactly where Russia is. If you look where Turkey is, that was Gomer. And if you look at where Meshach and Tubal and Togarma, that is all that area that's just below the nation of Ukraine. And this is where Vladimir Putin is doing all of his nonsense. So let's take a listen to what's going on. Let's just get up to speed with what's happening in Ukraine right now. They say, a lot of people are saying, that if Vladimir Putin continues at the same rate of speed that he is going at right now, he should be able to capture the capital city, Kiev, or Kyiv. They just recently changed the spelling of it. And I hear some people say Kyiv, and I hear some people say Kiev. But in either case, it is the capital of Ukraine. And take a listen to what's happening in Ukraine right now.
Another barrage before dawn. Ukrainian anti-aircraft batteries intercepting a Russian missile over the capital, one of two shot down this morning. As the assault closes in on Kyiv, 2.5 million civilians are suddenly on the front line. Firefighters in the suburb of Košice struggle to put out the blaze. Russia says it's not targeting civilians, but this is what happens when you fire missiles at a capital city. For many, it was the second night of cowering in basements and bomb shelters, doing whatever it takes to keep fear at bay. They always knew where these places were, but never really dreamed they'd use them. Not in 2022.
Now we have come to the building where the bomb shelter is, and we're trying to stay here. It's pretty crowded. People get their dogs and cats and kids, and we're hearing the news about possible attacks in this district.
And now the Russians are right outside in Anna's neighborhood. This is Obolon, north of the city center. An armored vehicle runs over a car. Eyewitnesses unable to believe what they're seeing. Amazingly, the driver survives, pulled from the wreckage by desperate passers-by. Equally unbelievable, one of the city's buses, still running, forced to give way to Kyiv's invaders.
In 24 hours, these streets have almost completely emptied. It is increasingly dangerous to go out. The Ukrainians have warned that Russian soldiers could be operating inside the city, perhaps even in stolen Ukrainian vehicles. Pressure on the government is mounting all the time. Most people here believe the Russians simply want to get rid of it.
Sirens are now more frequent, and the sound of distant explosions too. For Ukraine's president, speaking again to his people, this is a lonely fight.
This morning we are alone in defending our country, just like yesterday. The most powerful forces in the world watch from afar.
Ukraine is huge. The attacks which began yesterday have affected almost every major city. Russian armored columns have been rolling in from north, south and east. The old Chernobyl nuclear reactor is now in Russian hands. But it seems the airbase at Gostomel, seized yesterday, may have been taken back. In the east, close to the Russian border, there was ferocious fighting overnight at Sumy. The Russians may not have made as much progress as they hoped here, and they're suffering casualties too. Back in Kyiv, the wreckage of an unidentified Russian aircraft. The odds in this war are massively stacked against Ukraine, but it is fighting back. Paul Adams, BBC News, Kyiv.
Well, let's take you live now. Let's take a look at some latest pictures that are coming into us here at BBC News. These are from Kharkiv. This is Ukraine's second biggest city. It is basically located in the northeast of the country. It's the largest city in its region, and it's a population of about 1.5 million. As you can see, it's cold, it's snowing, but these pictures are showing us pretty much the aftermath of a clear attack. Vehicles have been destroyed, missile strikes have impacted the area. You can see here that soldiers are milling around, smoking cigarettes. You've seen overturned vehicles. This city is, of course, the second biggest in the country. These are the Ukrainian army soldiers on the outskirts of that city, which has been very much, together with Kiev, the focus of the Russian army. Again, we've seen vehicles destroyed and the aftermath of missile strikes in this city. But these pictures coming into us now showing exactly what the Ukrainian army are up against. Not only have they seen an attack by the Russian military, but it looks like the weather is absolutely appalling as well. So these pictures have just been coming into us here from today at BBC News.
So there you have the updates of what's happening. It looks like Vladimir Putin is going to be able to take the capital city of Ukraine. The Ukrainian people are a strong people and they're a proud people. And from what I hear from people on the inside is that they are absolutely fighting back. But fighting back against the Russian army, that's a very daunting and intimidating task to accomplish. And they don't have anywheres near the weaponry that Putin brings to the table. So it's unless a foreign country steps in to help the Ukrainian people, it's really not possible that they're going to be able to overthrow this. The only question is how long will it take Putin to take the capital? And again, most people are saying that this is likely going to happen sometime this weekend. So that brings us to the next question. When Putin does take the capital of Ukraine, is he going to stop there or is he going to continue? Adolf Hitler said when he took the Rhineland on March 7th of 1936, Adolf Hitler said that he simply wanted to add the Rhineland back to national Germany, and people really didn't put up a fuss. They were still rebuilding from World War I. Nobody wanted to enter into a battle again, so they allowed Adolf Hitler to take the Rhineland in 1936. And then he said after he took the Rhineland that satisfied his territorial ambitions for national Germany. But he was lying. And Adolf Hitler was lying because John 8:44 is true. John 8:44 tells us in no uncertain terms, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. So Adolf Hitler, he said that he had to have the Rhineland back. And he would be done, he would be happy, he would be satisfied. But in reality, that was just the beginning. So we're asking a question today. Does Adolf Putin, does Vladimir Putin simply only want Ukraine and Kiev? Or is this going to be a launching pad for something much larger and much more intense?
We begin with our breaking news. Our world is indeed changing as we speak. That smoke in the distance over Kharkiv, Ukraine.
These are among the darkest hour for Europe since the end of World War II.
It's emerging online. These pictures here show helicopters flying on the outskirts of Kiev, which is in the east of the country. Ukrainian media reporting that they belong to Russia.
Ukraine has mobilized its forces and begun to defend its cities.
Explosions heard in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital city. Just 2 hours ago, sirens going off.
And there we go. We have just heard the first siren has just gone off. And I've been told by city officials that indicates that this is a city under attack.
Ukraine's president says they've introduced martial law and have given weapons to everyone who's able to defend their country.
But he told people to stay calm, to stay in their homes.
Russia has attacked Ukraine, marking the start of a new war in Eastern Europe.
Surrounded on three sides by about 150,000, 170,000 troops.
And tanks roll through the cities, including Sumy, heralding a new phase in this escalating crisis.
We now have war in Europe on a scale and of a type we thought belonged to history.
Russian troops are attacking from the north, south, and east. It's an attack that involves artillery, tanks, and small arms.
Several videos showed what Ukrainian officials described as columns of Russian tanks entering Ukrainian territory. An unprovoked war in Europe is now underway.
Here we go.
It started before dawn. Ukraine woke to explosions around the capital, Kiev. It was the same across the country. These pictures from Kharkiv in the east. Enormous blasts also in the city of Dnipro.
That fiction now utterly exposed. Explosions right across this vast country.
Guys,
In Ivano-Frankivsk, in the far southwest, a missile struck an airport.
Putin began war against Ukraine, against the entire democratic world. He wants to destroy my country, our country.
And we are here at the Antonov Airport, which is about 25 kilometers, 15 miles or so out of the center. These troops you can see over here. Stand up, Lewis. These troops you can see over here, they are Russian airborne forces. They have taken this airport.
They've obviously had a plan for weeks and they've stuck to it. But for these troops to pop up in the middle of a neighborhood where key strategic locations like airports, utilities, and they've paratroopers have come in. They've had one firefight, but people are driving around like it's a normal day. It's bizarre. And yet here, the Russian troops that you're seeing right there, taking an airport, they've done that in several locations around the country.
Within hours, Russian tanks were reported to be on the streets of Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv.
Russia appeared to be targeting essential infrastructure, helicopter gunships hovering above a power plant. Other power stations were targeted as well, including the Chernobyl nuclear power station, raising fears of an even greater disaster.
This was an unprovoked war. It reminds me of September 1st, 1939, when Hitler invaded Poland.
Russia cannot feel safe, develop, and exist with a constant threat emanating from the territory of modern Ukraine, he said, describing the government in Kiev as a junta of neo-Nazis determined to build nuclear weapons.
Mid-morning and two jets fly over the city. It's not clear whose, but it seems only a matter of time before Russia controls the air and much besides.
And demilitarization of Ukraine. I mean, judging by those words, this appears to be the worst case scenario, potentially. We have to wait and see. Not just forces moving into the east, to these rebel-held areas, but potentially moving on other parts of the country. This seems to be a much larger ambition.
Russia's war machine is even hitting targets in the city capital, Kyiv.
Oh.
Now, residents in Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Odessa heard big explosions before dawn as world leaders decried the start of the Russian invasion. It could lead to massive casualties and topple Ukraine's democratically elected government. Russian President Vladimir Putin cast aside international condemnation and sanctions, warning other countries that any attempt to interfere would lead to consequences you have never seen in history.
The invasion, the attack that Russia promised would never happen, has now started.
For the most of the day, they were fairly precise strikes on military targets, but now the Russian troops clearly are heading toward major cities. That Russian forces have been able to secure the Chernobyl area, and they are also heading toward Kharkiv, which is the biggest city in the east.
They said they hoped they were wrong, but they are clearly right tonight. The invasion started exactly as the way they predicted, with cyber attacks, with electronic warfare, and then we saw those blasts around Kyiv. But several hours before this attack began, I got a message from a senior Pentagon official who said, "You are likely in the last few hours of peace on the European continent for a long time to come."
But the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Mark Warner, is warning that Russian cyber attacks could spark a wider war across NATO.
Yeah, George, the cyber's like a wildfire. Once you start it, you can't always control it. If you remember back in 2014, when the Russians came into Ukraine, they used a bot called NotPetya. And that turned into a raging wildfire across the world, caused $10 billion worth of damage. So cyber is a concern just because you can't control it and it doesn't usually stay where you want it to, something that the U.S., the rest of the world will have to take into account as we see this evolve.
I had this very strong and very creepy sense of deja vu. I have written about Soviet invasions and Soviet occupations. I wrote a book about the Soviet occupation of Poland and East Germany and Hungary at the end of the Second World War. And so much of what of the tactics and methods, right up to the making lists of enemies and planning, talking about who you're going to arrest in advance, the attempt to disorient people, the use of propaganda and lies. So much of this is familiar from Soviet history. Putin is a KGB officer, and the KGB studies its own history. I mean, we know they do that because I've seen their study guides in the archives when I worked there in the 1990s. So he is really reading through, how did we do it in the past? How did we conquer other nations and occupy them in 1945? And this is very similar to that in a way that's really quite eerie.
President Putin declared war on Russian state TV, saying he intended to demilitarize Ukraine and threatened the West against interference, reminding it that Russia is a powerful nuclear state.
This is now a Cold War between the United States and all of its allies, very unified on this issue, and Russia.
Political scientist Ian Bremmer called Russia's move a turning point in global order.
What Putin is saying is that this country is mine. I am taking it. I am working to reintegrate Russian Empire. Keep in mind that Putin has said on the record many times that he considers the dissolution of the Soviet Union to be the greatest geopolitical tragedy of the 20th century. And he believes that it is his legacy to reverse that.
Russia unleashing an assault on Ukraine from multiple directions.
If Putin wins, he's going to be able to define the character of the world as one defined by brute force, not by the rule of law.
So there you have it. There you have a mashup of a couple of dozen vocal headlines from the past 48 hours. And as you can see, the world is literally going crazy. Now, what does all this have to do with COVID-19 and the lockdowns and everything else? It has everything to do with it. Remember last week I told you about phase 3 that was coming? This is what phase 3 is all about. They've spent the last 711 days prepping you for this moment. Do you think it's a coincidence that as the third variant is finally winding down and everybody is just about to declare that the global pandemic is over, and you're one baby step away from saying that, and all of a sudden you're looking at what could possibly be World War III, and things of a biblical nature are going absolutely off the charts crazy. But I need you to understand that as Bible believers, we understand that all these things are connected. This has everything to do with COVID-19 and the global pandemic and the lockdowns and the financial crashes and the vaccination passports. If you remember, I've been telling you the entire time, they can't make you wear a mask forever. They can't lock you down forever. They can't terrorize you with a virus forever. These methods that they use, they change. And I told you 711 days ago, keep your eyes focused on the changes. Don't simply say, oh, we don't have to wear masks, so I guess, you know, the threat is over. COVID is going away. I guess the threat is over. All of this is part of the New World Order. Every single bit of it. And so we told you back on March 18th of 2020, I wrote an article called The Beginning of Sorrows. And you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and just type in Beginning of Sorrows into the search box and you'll find it. And back on March 18th of 2020, I wrote an article called The Beginning of Sorrows. And when you read that article, you'll see very, very clearly that those verses from Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception is the number one thing of the beginning of sorrows. Shall I say that again? Deception is the number one thing that starts the beginning of sorrows. Deception. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences. Underline that, highlight that, put a star next to that. And earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So I wrote that article on March 18th of 2020. I don't have to retract any of that. Everything in that article has already happened. And so here we are talking about wars and rumors of wars. Let me just randomly read a couple of headlines to you. Vladimir Putin expansion beyond Ukraine. NATO fails to stop. Battle for the New World Order. China staying silent. Capital city of Ukraine set to fall. And when you look at these headlines, you can see that what's happening could quite possibly be the prelude to World War III. Now, we don't know that for a fact. I try very hard to stick to things that I can factually say are true. I like a good sensational headline, but it better be a headline that is provable and is true and not just something that's sensational. But a lot of people were shocked that 12 hours after the invasion of Ukraine began, I want you to think about this now, 12 hours after the invasion of Ukraine began, we started hearing that Moscow has just told Israel that they no longer recognize Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights, and they do not recognize Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem. Now we have the smoking gun. World War One, the fruit of World War One was the Balfour Declaration, which was the promise by the nation of England to create a national homeland for the Jewish people in Palestine. That was the fruit of World War I. Because real Bible prophecy has to do with Israel. Don't ever forget that. Well, the historical record shows that England did not keep their promise. They betrayed the Jewish people. And that led us to World War II. What was the fruit of World War II? The fruit of World War II was the regathering of the nation of Israel. In fulfillment of Bible prophecy, like the passage that I just read to you from Jeremiah. So, if the trend is going to continue, if we really are looking at World War III, and I believe that we just might be looking at that, if we really are looking at World War III, then Israel has to figure into the equation rather heavily. And of course, Israel does figure into the equation extremely heavily. Russia does not recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That is part of Syria. So says Deputy Ambassador Dmitry Polyansky, and he told that to the UN Security Council in New York City. He told that to them on the eve of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The same guy also told the UN Security Council that Russia does not recognize Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem. And if you turn to Luke chapter 21, you will see why that is such a big deal. Jerusalem is the city of God. Jerusalem is what Gog and Magog and Antichrist and World War III and the Battle of Armageddon. It is all about, if you could sum all of that Bible prophecy up into one single word, that word would be Jerusalem, the city of peace, ironically named. Luke chapter 21, verses 20, 21, and 22. Ooh, I just got a chill. Luke 21, verse 20. Verse 21. Verse 22. 2020, 2021, 2022. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let them not that are in the countries enter therein too. Why? For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Now we understand that that is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. We understand that that is talking about a time that is going to be taking place after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But is it possible that God is letting us see a little bit of that right now? I believe he is. I believe that's what we're looking at. Now, this could all change tomorrow. I am not saying that this is the start of World War III, but I am saying this, that if you could push a button right now, and stop time. Stop Russia from invading. Stop America. Stop Spain. Stop China. If you could push a button and just make everything stop right now, World War III is a 100% certainty. Now, something may change tomorrow. Something may change next week. Putin could decide that he doesn't have the appetite for this. I'm not talking about tomorrow or next week or next month. I am saying that the events that are taking place right now, 12:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 25th of 2022, I am saying that the events of the past 48 hours match exactly with how Adolf Hitler led the world into World War II. Will it continue that way? I don't know. Is it that way right now? 100%? Yes, it is. And you're going to see that today. Now, I played all those clips for you. All the incredible headlines and the bombing of Ukraine and what all the world leaders have to say. Let's take a listen to see what the leader of the world's only superpower has to say about what's going on. Let's check in with your president, Joe Biden. Not my president, but your president, Joe Biden. When he was asked, is Vladimir Putin planning nuclear war? You know what? That's a really good question. Wouldn't you like to know that the leader of your country is thinking about, could it be possible that authoritarian communist madmen who are trying to take over a sovereign country, wouldn't you like to know if they were planning nuclear war? Well, this is what Joe Biden said when he was asked yesterday.
This is a take. Cecilia Vega, ABC.
Sir, sanctions clearly have not been enough to deter Vladimir Putin to this point. What is going to stop him? How and when does this end? And do you see him trying to go beyond Ukraine? And a second question I'll just give to you now. This statement that he gave last night, the West will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history. Is he threatening a nuclear strike?
I'll stop her right there. That's a really good question. And it's also a really, really, really simple question to answer. All you have to say is, the intelligence that we have points to, and then you just simply say what the intelligence that you have is pointing to. It would be a really easy question to answer. Let's see what Joe Biden does with that question.
I have no idea what he's threatening. I know what he has done. Number one.
I have no idea. I'm laughing, but you know what? The bombs could be going off over our head here in America. I have no idea what he is threatening. You have an idea what he's threatening. I have an idea what he's threatening. And I know we get a lot of military people listening to our podcast, but unless you have connections with the Department of Defense or the Pentagon, you don't know what the intelligence says. I don't have access to American intelligence, but I could kind of tell you what Putin is planning. Joe Biden has no idea. You just heard him say, no idea. Let's see if his answer gets any better.
One. And number two, no one expected the sanctions to prevent anything from happening. It has to show, this is going to take time, and we have to show resolve so he knows what's coming. And so the people of Russia know what he's brought on them. That's what this is all about. This is going to take time. It's not going to occur. He's going to say, oh, my God, these sanctions are coming. I'm going to stand down. He's going to test the resolve of the West to see if we stay together, and we will. We will, and it will impose significant costs on him.
Now, if you listen to what Joe Biden just said, you should be terrified right now. Here is a man who does not know what Vladimir is planning. He doesn't sound to be overly interested in finding out. He doesn't seem to be the least bit curious. What do you think Ronald Reagan would have said? What do you think that Donald Trump would have said? Do you think that either one of those two former presidents would have said, I don't know what he's planning? Almost makes you think this is why they put Joe Biden in office. I don't know about you, but it sure seems that way to me. So you heard Joe Biden say at the last part of that clip, you heard him talk about these great sanctions, right? If you know anything about the history of the Russian people, a good friend of mine, when he was a teenager, he got to go to Russia for 3 months when he was 17. And he was part of an exchange program, and he was telling me some stories at lunch just yesterday that were just absolutely unbelievable stories. And he got to see what life was like in the Soviet Union back in the early 1990s. And you know what my friend told me yesterday? He said, "You cannot threaten the Russian people with sanctions. They are a very different type of person. They're a very tough, resilient type of people. Sanctions aren't going to do anything to the psyche of the Russian people." But speaking of sanctions, there seems to be a little bit of confusion even within the Biden White House about those sanctions. Take a listen to this very short clip.
No one expected the sanctions to prevent anything from happening.
The purpose of the sanctions has always been and continues to be deterrence.
There you have it. The president just said nobody expected the sanctions to stop anything. And then the vice president said that the expectations of the sanctions have always been to be a deterrent. And when you look up the definition of the word deter, it means to stop. So this is the stage that has been set. I promised you at the start of this program I was going to tell you about Vladimir Putin's secret, and he absolutely has one. Adolf Hitler believed, and I really need you guys to pay attention to this, because I'm going to give you some history here, but it's really important. If you want to understand what's happening right now, then park, just pull over to the side and park for a few minutes and just listen to what I have to tell you. Vladimir Putin has a spiritual destiny that he is fulfilling. This is not so much political as it is spiritual. Vladimir Putin believes that the hand of somebody called Saint Vlad of the Rus is guiding his decisions right now. Adolf Hitler believed that he was the Messiah sent by God to bring in the Third Reich, and that his Third Reich was going to last for 1,000 years. Adolf Hitler said that repeatedly. Adolf Hitler saw himself as a Messiah, and this is why he did these things that nobody expected him to do. Because Adolf Hitler wasn't simply trying to add more land to his kingdom. Adolf Hitler believed he was bringing in a religion. Adolf Hitler believed that he was the Messiah of that religion. And that's why he did what he did. Now you say, what does that have to do with Vladimir Putin? Vladimir Putin believes that he may not necessarily be the Messiah, but he believes absolutely with all his heart that he is the messenger of something that took place back in the year 998. That's what he believes. And when you go back to that time period, you see that threatened by an uprising of his treacherous generals, the Emperor Basil II, based in the glorious city of Byzantium, reached out to his enemies, the pagans over in the land of the Rus, R-U-S, modern-day Russia. Now, Basil II was a very clever deal-maker. If Vladimir of the Rus, or Russia, would help him to put down the revolt, he would give him the hand of his beautiful sister in marriage. This was a status changer for Vladimir. The marriage of a pagan to an imperial princess was unprecedented. But first, Vladimir would have to convert to Catholicism. Returning to Kiev, in what is modern-day Ukraine, in triumph, Vladimir proceeded to summon the whole city to the banks of the river Dnieper for a mass baptism. This is the year 988. This is the founding iconic act of the Russian Orthodox Church, based on Roman Catholicism. It was from here that the Russian Orthodox Church would spread their brand of Catholicism. It would spread out and merge with the Russian love of the motherland to create a brew of nationalism and spirituality. In 988, it was as if the whole of the Russian people had been baptized. What does that sound like to you? Doesn't that sound like what happened in 325 in Rome when the Emperor Constantine declared that Christianity was going to become the state religion? And then he made it a crime if you weren't a quote-unquote Christian. And Constantine was actually starting what would become not the Christian Church, but the Roman Catholic Church under the Vatican. So here in 988 in Russia, from the capital of Kiev, Vladimir the Rus was declared a saint. Now, when the Byzantine Empire fell, the Russians saw themselves as the natural successor. And ever since the end of the Byzantine Empire, Russian leaders have always considered themselves to be the third Rome. Now, Soviet communism in the early part of the 20th century had tried to crush it, but it failed. And in the post-Soviet period, thousands of churches have been built and rebuilt. Back in 2019, the Patriarch Kirill, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, boasted that they were building 3 churches every day. Last year, they opened up a cathedral to the armed forces an hour outside of Moscow. Religious imagery merges with military glorification. They took images of war medals and put them into stained glass because they wanted to remind everybody visiting these churches about the glorious past of the beginning days of Russia under Saint Vladimir of the Rus. Are you starting to see where this is going? Have you figured out just a little bit of what I'm about to say? I think most of you are already where I'm going, but stick with me. So they had war medals set in stained glass to remind the church visitors of Saint Vladimir of the Rus. More recent victories, including 2014's The Return of Crimea, are celebrated. At the heart of this post-Soviet revival of Catholicism, it's not Roman Catholicism, but it's absolutely Catholicism. At the heart of this post-Soviet revival is Vladimir Putin. Many people do not understand the extent to which the invasion of Ukraine, happening right now, is a spiritual quest for Vladimir Putin. The baptism of Rus is the founding event of the formation of the Russian religious psyche. The Russian Orthodox Church traces its origins back there. This is why Vladimir Putin is not overly interested in the surrounding areas of the Ukraine to the east. Vladimir Putin has one single goal: Kiev, or Kyiv. Vladimir Putin's goal is to take the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv, because that will restore the spirit of Saint Vladimir of the Rus, who he is named after. There is a massive statue in Moscow to Saint Vladimir of the Rus. There is a matching statue of Saint Vladimir of the Rus in Kiev. Are you starting to see where this is going? Vladimir Putin was born in Leningrad, named after Lenin. Vladimir Putin's mother had him baptized in secret, and he still wears his baptismal cross. His father was an atheist. Since he became the president, or some say dictator, of Russia, he has seen himself as the leader of the Third Rome. He has seen himself as the spiritual incarnation of Saint Vladimir of the Rus from 998. He bombed ISIS relentlessly. Why? Because they were terrorists? No. Because they were a threat to the Russian Orthodox religion. This is what he said in 2013. Vladimir Putin in 2013 said, "We see many of the Euro-Atlantic countries are actually rejecting their roots, including the Christian values that constitute the basis of Western civilization. They are denying moral principles and all traditional identities, national, cultural, religious, and even sexual. They are implementing policies that equate large families with same-sex partnerships and belief in God with the belief in Satan." Now, that sounds like he's a Christian, but he's not a Christian. He's a Catholic. He's not a Roman Catholic, because the Russian Orthodox faith is not part of Rome. But the vast majority of people, an example for, if you look at the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, it is 30% Greek Catholic. It is 1.4% Latin Catholic. It is only 3.6% Protestant. And it is 57% Orthodox. So they call themselves Christians, but they are really advancing Catholicism. They have all the patron saints and the medals and the candles and the prayers and the Eucharist and the Mass. So Putin regards his spiritual destiny as the rebuilding of the Russian Orthodox faith based in Moscow under Vladimir the Rus. And this is why he's doing what he's doing. Putin said last year, "The spiritual choices made by Saint Vladimir still largely determines what we do today." That's what Putin said last year. Nobody paid any attention to it. In the words of Oleg the prophet about Kiev, Vladimir Putin said, "Let it be the mother of all Russian cities." Are you paying attention to that? Last year, Vladimir Putin said that Kiev in Ukraine was to be the mother of all Russian cities. He's been planning this for quite some time. In 2019, the Ukrainian arm of the family of Orthodox churches declared its independence from the Russian Orthodox Church. And the nominal head of the Orthodox family, Bartholomew I of Constantinople, supported it. The Ukrainian president, Petro Poroshenko, described this as a great victory for the devout Ukrainian nation over the Moscow demons, a victory of good over evil and light over darkness. Now, the Russian Orthodox Church furiously rejected this claim to Ukrainian independence of the church, stating that Ukraine belonged irrevocably to its canonical territory. Now, this led to a historic split within the Orthodox family in Ukraine, with the Russian church rejecting the primacy of Bartholomew, declaring that they were no longer in communion with the rest of the Orthodox family. Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov denounced Bartholomew as an American stooge. Patriarch Kirill even claimed the reversion of the Hagia Sophia, originally the global headquarters of Orthodoxy, to a mosque in 2020 was God's punishment. The Russian church then proceeded to set up its own diocese around the world, especially in Africa. They are taking to the streets with posters saying, "Thank you, Putin, and thank you, Patriarch Kirill." Now, all of this was in Putin's head, and all of this has been in Putin's head for the last 21 years. So I want you to understand today that every move that Vladimir Putin has made has been leading up to the day when he would be able to invade Ukraine while the entire world watched, and there wouldn't be one single thing that anybody could do to stop him. And the reason why Vladimir Putin needs to invade Ukraine is he needs the capital of Kiev in order to fulfill the spiritual mandate of Saint Vladimir the Rus from 998. Isn't it incredible that events taking place in 2022, world-shaking global events that are being calculated on things that happened in 998? What are the chances of someone named Vladimir rising up to assume the mantle of someone called Saint Vladimir? What are the chances that massive statues 20 feet high would be in Moscow and in Ukraine of the same person with the statues facing each other? Vladimir Putin's secret is that he believes that he is here for such a time as this. He is here for such a time as this to bring in the Russian kingdom, because that's what he believes he's doing. This isn't about territorial conquest for the nation of Russia. This is about the spiritual motherland and the Russian Orthodox Church, which Vladimir Putin says is the third Rome. You see how everything gets back to Rome? You see how everything gets back to Revelation 17 and Revelation 18? You see how everything gets back to the nation of Israel? So this is Vladimir Putin's secret. This is what he's looking to pull off. Do you think anybody in the Pentagon understands what we've been talking about for the last half an hour? Do you think anybody in the Pentagon understands the spiritual implications of what's going on right now? Because unless you understand this from a spiritual level, there's nothing that you can do to combat it. There is nothing that you can do to stop it. Last year, on the anniversary of the baptism of the Rus from 998, Patriarch Kirill preached to his people, urging them to stay true to St. Vladimir's conversion and to the blood of the Orthodox Russian martyrs. He told them to love our homeland, our people, our rulers, and our army. Now, people living in the West don't understand this. They think that Putin is insane. They think that he's crazy. They don't understand Putin. And because they don't understand him, they don't know how to deal with him. Vladimir Putin said, Ukraine is an inalienable part of our own history, our own culture, and our spiritual space. So with all these things in mind 48 hours ago, well, actually, it was just about 48 hours ago, we were doing our Bible study on Gog and Magog, and just around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, everybody in the chat room started getting excited, saying that news reports of bombs exploding over Kiev were coming in. And we were halfway through our Bible study on Gog and Magog. That's kind of an amazing coincidence, huh? It's not a coincidence. We told you this was coming. We told you how the Bible looks at all these things. And if you haven't heard that broadcast, I invite you to go back into the archives. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on NTEB Radio. Or you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google. We're on about a dozen different networks. You can go to sermonaudio.com. Brother Harmon is putting up all of our programs. And he live streams our podcasts on Monday and Friday. Thank you, Brother Harmon. But we were talking about Gog and Magog and the coming invasion. We told you these things were coming. And now they're here. Today, you have just learned why Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. Today, you have just learned why he needs to have Kiev under his control. It is not for political reasons, it is for spiritual reasons. And when you understand that, turn to Daniel 7. When you understand that when world leaders do things for spiritual reasons rather than political reasons, you have jumped off of the headlines and you have jumped into the pages of your King James Bible. Daniel 7:23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns, Revelation 13, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Daniel is talking about things which will be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble and during the great tribulation, a time period that you and I are not going to be here for. But I submit to you right now that you and I are getting the appetizer of that main course. We're not invited to that meal. But the Bible says that God will do nothing but reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. And you and I who preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God, and you and I who tell other people about prophetical things, We are prophets from the perspective that we are foretelling people what is going to take place. That's as close to a prophet as you're going to get to be in the church age. But it is absolutely prophesying. When we tell people what the Bible says is going to come upon all the world, that is absolutely prophesying. Granted, we are prophesying things that Bible prophets have said, but that's exactly what you and I are doing. We are prophesying. And the Bible says that God will reveal his secret to his servant, the prophets. And you and I do know why these things are happening. About a half an hour before the program began today, I got on the phone with Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation. And we sent them enough money today that is going to send just under 3,000 King James Bibles around the world next month. I got on the phone earlier today with Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation, and we just purchased 5 rolls of paper. Actually, about 5.5 rolls of paper. And that is going to send out 2,750 King James Bibles around the world next month. Today, we are shipping dozens and dozens and dozens of Ruckman Reference Study Bibles, King James Bible in Spanish. Pastor Johnry in the Philippines is about to receive 3 cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. We are upping what we are doing because I believe that the time that we're going to get to do that is almost up. And I was telling my friend Craig today earlier that since we don't know how much time that we have left, that I want to be very busy about the Lord's business. So today we sent Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation $5,000. That's going to print 2,750 Bibles. Would you like to do more? Would you like maybe next month to send out 5,000 Bibles? All you have to do is support the program. Why don't you pray about it? And why don't you ask God if you should support this Bible program? And if God tells you to support this program, why don't you go to nowtheendbegins.com and make a donation? I want to ramp up everything that we're doing. I believe personally that we are living in the time of the end. I'm working at Now the End Begins 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, every day. Why would I do that? Because I believe that we are in the time of the end. And I believe that time is almost up. So I am putting my money where my mouth is. And I am giving everything I have to this effort. How amazing is it that God is using us to send out thousands and thousands and thousands of King James Bibles every month? We sent out 3,000 last month too. If you would like us to do more, why don't you donate today? Go to nowtheendbegins.com. We're not building any buildings. Nobody here is living in a mansion. We are working for the kingdom of God. And the way that you work for the kingdom of God is you preach and teach the word of God. And you tell people about the gospel of the grace of God. And you lift up Jesus Christ and you send out Bibles all around the world. That's how you do it. Last year, we sent out 11,411 Bibles. I want you to think about this now. I want you to think really hard about this. Last year in 2021, we sent out 11,411 Bibles. It took us all year to do that. In the first 7 weeks of 2022, we have sent out over 6,000 Bibles. In just the first 7 weeks. If we keep up this pace and the Lord tarries, we're going to be right around 30,000 Bibles, which is 300% more than what we did last year. Now, if that's exciting to you, if you want to get in where God is working, all you have to do is pray for this ministry. Pray that God would send in workers to the harvest. All you have to do is donate. It's all it takes. It's just money. That's all it is. But we take that money and we turn that paper money into paper pages of God's preserved word, and we send it out around the world. And I don't know about you, but the idea that we could do 30,000 Bibles in 1 year. And do you realize that thousands of those Bibles are Ruckman Reference study Bibles that are fairly expensive? I don't want to get off on a whole fundraising thing. I really don't. But I'm excited to get something done for the Lord. And I was thrilled that I could get on the phone with Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation and say, hey, here's $5,000. How many King James Bibles does that buy us? And Karen said, 2,750. Well, maybe she didn't say that exact number. I figured that out after the phone call was done, but you get the idea. I am hungry to do more for the Lord. I am not content with last year's 11,411 Bibles. That's not going to get the job done in 2022. So when you see what's going to happen this weekend, and I'll make a little bit of a prediction. I think Vladimir Putin is going to take Kiev by midnight Saturday. That's tomorrow. I'm not saying that, thus saith the Lord. That's just my opinion. But after hearing why Vladimir Putin is motivated to do these things, he's not doing it for political purposes. Vladimir Putin is fulfilling his spiritual destiny. There is nothing more powerful than somebody who believes they are fulfilling their spiritual destiny. Now, when servants of God do that, great things happen. But when servants of Satan fulfill their spiritual destiny, bad things happen. And Vladimir Putin is absolutely an evil, evil man. I do not applaud this man. I stand against him. I stand against the Russian Catholic Church. I stand against anything that stands against that King James Bible. But I'm not against the Russian people. There's many there that could be saved. I stand with the Ukrainian people in their fight against Russia. I am not applauding these events. I am just simply telling you that it is thrilling. It is thrilling to watch Bible prophecy being fulfilled. How far is it going to go? It's going to go as far as God wants it to go. And we can speculate and we can guess, but in the end, all it is a guess and a speculation. But our guesses and speculations have been pretty good. We told you about the beginning of sorrows on March 18th, 2020. And you think about how accurate that was and everything that has happened since then. Well, God allows us to give some pretty good guesses because I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. If you haven't registered yet for the camp meeting and you want to come, now would be a good time to register. You can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can just click on the link. It's on every page, inviting you to register for the NTEB camp meeting weekend. Joel Tillis from the Soul Trap is going to be our featured preacher at the camp meeting. We're going to do a live broadcast of the Soul Trap from the bookstore on that Friday. And then that Sunday, whoever wants to go, we're going to go to downtown St. Augustine and we're going to hand out a couple of thousand gospel tracts and we're going to preach to the lost people of St. Augustine. If that sounds like a fun weekend to you, and I hope it does, then go to nowtheendbegins.com and sign up for the NTEB camp weekend. We're going to have some amazing barbecue, some amazing music, and it's really going to be something special. And I would love for everybody to be a part of that. When you look at what's going to happen this weekend, I want you to think about what I told you today. I want you to think about St. Vladimir the Rus from 988 or 998. I want you to think about Vladimir Putin fulfilling his spiritual destiny in 2022. I want you to think about all these things. Because it is highly likely that what we are seeing has a direct connection with Gog and Magog. And we are going to follow this thing every step of the way. We are going to be on this thing like a dog with a bone. And we are going to come before the Lord and say, Lord, open our eyes and show us the truth of what's happening. We believe your word. We stand on your King James Bible. Ecclesiastes 8:4 said, where the word of a king is, there is power. And we're going to follow this thing every step of the way. But I'm telling you, I feel with every fiber of my being that this is exactly what you would expect to see on day 711 of 15 days to flatten the curve. This is what's going on. The war is real. The battle is hot. And the time is short. Are you in the fight or are you out of the fight? Are you just sitting in your armchair watching events taking place? Or are you standing with us on the front lines, working for the kingdom, working to see people get saved, working to hand out King James Bibles and gospel tracts, helping us to put up billboards? We got a couple of new billboards going up. It's very exciting. Over in Baton Rouge, we got Brother Kyle and his wife. They are on fire for God. It's almost like they have established a Louisiana outpost of Now the End Begins. And Brother Kyle and his wife Reagan are doing some great things. But it's not hard to do. You just have to want to do it. This isn't rocket science. You just have to believe that the Bible is true and that it's highly likely that we're living in the end times. All you have to do is believe that and then step out and do something about it. Katie from Ocala, she put up a billboard last month. Somebody else is putting up a billboard in Ocala. We're putting up a new billboard on Route 1 telling people about the bookstore. Yesterday, I had somebody come into the bookstore, a father and his son, and they were on vacation from Chicago. And you know what he told me? He said we were downtown. That's about 11 miles from where the bookstore is. And this man told me just the other day, we were downtown and we saw your billboard and we drove all the way up here because we needed to find a Christian bookstore. And he purchased a copy of a Ruckman Reference Bible and a copy of Clarence Larkin's Dispensational Truth. These billboards that we're putting up are absolutely working, but they're expensive. The free Bibles that we hand out are amazing, but they're expensive. So I invite you to come and be a part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. Help us to do these things. Help us to do more. Just one more soul. Is it worth it to you? It's worth it to me. And I know it's worth it to you too. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we just pray for the Ukrainian people. And Lord, it is terrifying and it is horrifying to watch. But like we always say, we thank you for the positive prophecy we see get fulfilled. And we thank you for the negative prophecy that we see get fulfilled. And even now, be sending in Christian workers to the Ukraine to help those people, and that Ukrainian and Russian people will get saved during this time. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being part of this broadcast. I hope it was a blessing to you. I love, love, love bringing you these programs. I love every minute of it. I love the Bible studies, the Sunday service, the prophecy news podcasts. I love doing the preparation that it takes. I just love being part of Now the End Begins. I say it often, there's no place that I would rather be than with my NTEB family on the front lines of the end times, getting something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Have a great weekend, everybody. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for our house church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod